Hello, everyone. Welcome to Three Peas in a Poly. And this is our, what now, third episode. We're finally getting to. We're sorry it's taken so long to get back to you. We've just had so much stuff going on in our lives, but we are so excited to be back and to bring you the latest episode. Today, we're going to be talking about jealousy. It was actually a request from a listener. So just sit back, buckle up, and get ready to listen to our take on jealousy, how we deal with it, because believe it or not, we do still deal with jealousy. It's just on how you handle it. So welcome, and we're glad you're here listening with us. Hello, Amber. Hello, Evan.
Hey there.
Hi.
How you guys doing?
Oh, fantastic.
Fantastic. We've had a lot of things happen in the last, 3 weeks?
Well, I guess we can say the good news now.
Oh, we can.
Oh, yes, we can, because it is finally public. So, Amber, would you like to take the news away?
I'm with child.
Ugh.
Oh. What in the hell?
I didn't like that.
I'm pregnant.
Yes, you're pregnant. We've been trying for a while. It's been, a big secret. And
I don't think it was that big of a secret.
Well, the last episode, we knew last episode, didn't we? No, we didn't. Did we? Yeah, we did.
I don't fucking know.
Shit, I don't fucking remember.
It's all a blur.
Yes, but
I'll be 10 weeks on Friday.
Yes, and we are very excited. We've been trying for a while, and we're very happy to be expanding our family here.
Little mini Mackie running around.
Yeah, so congratulations, us. Yay. So awesome. So what else happened in the last 3 weeks or 4 weeks you're making fun of me now. It's okay. We're not going to edit this out. You guys are going to get the real, raw, uncut version. So, let's see. You, Evan went on a trip, so that was cool.
that was pretty cool.
That was pretty cool.
I'm dating somebody.
Yeah, and you're dating somebody. Me, I'm not dating anyone at the moment, so that's cool.
I'm sorry I cursed you.
You did curse me.
I'm sorry.
You did curse me, but it's okay. It's okay. We deal with it as it goes. But anyway, let's get to the real reason why we're here.
Hey, do you want to make your correction from last time?
Yes, thank you for that. So I did get some feedback, or actually I should say we got feedback on our Facebook page and directly in messages that it was kind of, interpreted when I said that I didn't know anything about you guys being together.
In the beginning, that is.
I did know about it. There was no meaning to convey that there was cheating involved. That is not the case. Evan and I had really clear communication about that, and I knew what was expected of that trip. So I just wanted to clear that up and clear the air. There was no cheating there. And if that was construed that way, I do apologize. And I apologize to you too, Evan, for making it sound that way, because it did kind of make it sound like you, like I didn't know. So that was not the case. So yes, thank you for reminding me to bring that up, Amber. I appreciate that. So anyway, let's talk about jealousy. Where do we begin? So I think the first thing I think we need to say about it is, yes, we experience jealousy, right?
Yeah, I think a lot of people assume that when you are involved with polyamory that you do not experience jealousy, or that it's not a struggle for you, because when we talk about our lifestyle and our relationship style to other people, the first thing people say off the bat is, oh, I can never do that. I'm so jealous. And well, that doesn't mean, because I'm doing this, that doesn't mean that I don't experience jealousy. The difference is that when I experience jealousy, I take responsibility for my feelings and I deal with them. And I make them work for me, and I don't make them my partner's responsibility. I don't manipulate my partner into making decisions so that I am spared the feeling of jealousy.
Right.
And it's not like monogamous people don't experience jealousy anyway. Like, you know what I mean?
You mean non-monogamous?
No, I mean monogamous people.
Oh, also.
Because monogamous people, that's generally who's saying that to us, is I could never do polyamory. I'm monogamous because I'm so jealous. But monogamous people experience jealousy all the time, too. It's not like you get away from it because you're poly or monogamous.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people look at poly as like, you know, well, it's different. So it's this like, I guess, unicorn, right? Like everything's different. Well, there's some things that's different, but there's a lot of things that's the same. And jealousy is one of those things, and we still experience that. So yeah, like, and when we feel that feeling of jealousy, there's something else there that's causing that, right?
Yeah, jealousy is a secondary emotion. And so when you experience jealousy, what you're really experiencing first is hurt. And you're being hurt by not having one of your needs met. Mm-hmm. So when you experience jealousy, it's usually not about the other person having the thing that is the problem. It's the fact that you don't have the thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you can get your needs met, that's kind of how you begin to deal with jealousy, is you take an assessment of your needs and you make a plan for how to get those needs met. And you communicate your needs to the people in your life so that they have a better chance of meeting those needs.
Right. And they might not get met right in that immediate moment when you're feeling that way.
Mm-hmm.
But at least giving your partners a chance to have the opportunity to meet those needs is very important.
And that's kind of the point of polyamory, of having more than one partner, is that, you know, maybe your need can't be met in this moment by one particular partner, and that's why you're experiencing jealousy.
Mm-hmm.
But you're with other people who maybe can help meet that need.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I need attention, so... I need attention. I'm a Gemini. I need attention. But it's like, for example, like, let's say I feel like I need a lot of emotional support one night. I just had a bad day and I feel like I need a lot of attention. Like, maybe I want attention from Evan that night, mm-hmm. but Evan is busy doing something else, right? So Evan says, I can't meet that need. I could get jealous about it and be weird, right? Or I could say, you know, I have two other partners and this is an opportunity for me to connect with them as well.
For sure. And you can even take it further. It could be anything. It could be, you know, for example, Evan with his partner and mm-hmm. spending quality time with his partner. And we're not getting that need met because we feel, you know, we're not getting the need met. So, you know, it could be literally anything, but it's jealousy isn't the main cause. There's always something behind it. And there's always a way that you can communicate that to be able to have those needs met or given the opportunity to have those needs met. So that's really important.
I think the trap that some people fall into is they feel jealous. They experience jealousy. They don't examine what's causing it, mm-hmm. right? And then they use manipulation tactics to get what they want. Because right. maybe they realize at a certain level, I'm jealous because I'm not getting a need met. And instead of just asking point blank, like, this is what I need right now, they use manipulation tactics
mm-hmm.
to get what they want, which just causes more harm to the relationship.
Yeah. So what's the fastest way to resolve feelings of jealousy?
Well, I don't think the goal should be quick.
Right.
Like, the goal should not be, let me resolve these feelings quickly. I think resolving them fully should be the goal. And so I don't necessarily think there is a quick way to deal with jealousy. I think there's many steps to the process. And I think the first step to that process is self-assessment
mm-hmm.
and being aware of your feelings.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people, when they feel a thing, they react based on that feeling, but they don't necessarily assess where that feeling is coming from, what the source of it is. And so when you can have a little bit more self-awareness and understand the genesis of your feelings, then you can do a better job choosing behaviors that are more true to your character.
Yeah.
Instead of reacting based on emotion.
So your first step should be self-reflection.
Mm-hmm.
Reflecting on why you feel that way.
Not projecting your feelings outwards. Like, I feel jealous. The wrong way to go about it would be to say, I feel jealous because you did something that made me jealous. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Because jealousy isn't, there's no outward source for that.
Doesn't that go back to...
It comes from internally.
Like the I statements? I feel this way?
Yeah, not you made me feel this way.
It's always I feel this mm-hmm. way. So once you get past the reflection phase, or the self-reflection phase, then it's on to communication?
Yes. And then once you have assessed your feelings and your needs and sort of made an inventory of your needs, then you can move on to communication and you can start to communicate those things to your partners. And then there is a negotiation phase where mm-hmm. you, your partner can tell you, yes, I can meet this need for you, or no, I have to set a boundary here. I can't meet this need for you. Mm-hmm. And so when you express a need to a partner, you can never assume that that partner has to meet that need. There is no obligation for that partner to meet your need. And a partner always has the right to say no yeah. and set a boundary. So when you're in the communication phase, I think understanding that there is a negotiation in that communication is really important.
Well, and it's all about compromise, right? And that's, you know, what you want to achieve in a relationship is to be able to find compromise, find the common ground. So when you communicate those needs and you communicate what you're feeling, you know, it, as you said, it gives your partner the opportunity to listen to you, to be heard, things like that. Once that's done, and as you said, your partner does have the chance to say no or not agree to it because we only control ourselves. Mm-hmm. The most important thing is if you get the no, then you know you could take that information and go back and reflect on if that's something that you can accept or how you can work around that yourself. Because I think one of the most important things is that you can't rely on someone else to fix those things for you. You have to do it yourself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that's something that some people have a hard time with is like getting the no. Like, no, I'm sorry, I can't meet that need for you. And that's kind of the point of polyamory is like one person can't meet all your needs and you can't really expect them to. But what do you do if you get the no?
Then you have to decide how you're going to get that need met. So you can either take it to another partner or you can make a plan to figure out how you can meet that need for yourself.
Okay.
Yeah. And, you know, and the biggest thing here too is it goes back to the overarching theme of communication. And it's not something that's unique to a polyamorous relationship. It's something that even the theme of this podcast works for monogamous relationships, right?
Mm-hmm. Any monogamous person can absolutely apply these concepts to their relationship as well. Because like Amber said earlier, monogamous people still experience jealousy.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh, you liked that cute girl's picture on Facebook. Like, you really think she's cute? You know, like, you still experience jealousy in everyday interactions with your partner. So monogamous people can absolutely still take responsibility for their own jealousy.
For sure.
And deal with their own feelings and make them their responsibility. And just like communication, like monogamous people still have to communicate with their partners. Mm-hmm. They can absolutely make their communication clearer and deeper with their partner. And, you know, like they can reap all of the same benefits of polyamory in a monogamous relationship.
Can we just take a second to like recognize that the scenario you gave for the monogamous relationship is a foreign concept to us now? We're usually over there like, hey, did you see that? Check that out.
Look at this kitty.
Yeah, right? Like, I just think it's really, you know, interesting where, how far we've come along from our past and where we've been going from being monogamous to being polyamorous. It's just quite a interesting thing to see. But
and how did we do that? We all went to therapy.
That's going to be an ever reoccurring theme here on this podcast, I think, is therapy is amazing.
I recommend therapy to everyone if you can get it.
If you can get it. That is right. That is right. So yes, I think that the overarching theme here is, yes, jealousy is an issue in any type of relationship. You can experience relationships in polyamorous relationships. You can experience them in monogamous relationships. You can experience it with friends. Mm-hmm. You can experience it with family. A relationship is a relationship no matter what it looks like, and jealousy is a part of it. And it can all be handled in the same manner, in the same fashion, and that's through self-reflection, communication, and readjustment. I think that's just kind of the base tenets that we kind of practice when we have to deal with jealousy within our relationship, right? Like, mm-hmm. like that's how we handle it. And in communication, so thinking of different ways of communication, you know, just ask your partner, sit your partner down and say, hey, I need to talk to you. Or like us, we have weekly family meetings that if there's something that's on our mind, we'll check in with how we feel and how things are going. And we do that once a week, or, you know, do it as we need it. Communicate it in a way that is best for you, right? When it comes to, you know, how others, how you guys out there handle your relationships.
So does anybody want to give any anecdotes about when they experienced jealousy?
Oof. I'm sure everyone would love to hear some anecdotes. You got one, Evan? You want to go first since you brought it up?
Oh, gosh. Let me think of one. Give me a second.
All right, I would like our listeners to know that while we do still experience jealousy in our relationships, we have definitely evolved a lot since we started our poly journey, and we experienced a lot more jealousy in the beginning than I think that we do now. At least we deal with it better now, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. I'd say especially since we've opened our relationship and started dating outside of our triad, you know, especially at first there was some jealousy tinges that we had to deal with even then. And it's just communicating those feelings and needs, and after you do the self-reflection. So, but Evan, you have your anecdotal story there.
One aspect of my relationships that I experience jealousy in is I have a relationship with Nate that is long distance. Mm-hmm. And Nate has another partner that is local for him. And something that I experience is jealousy about the fact that his other partner can see him throughout the week. They can have regular dates where they meet up, and they can also just like see each other on a whim. Mm-hmm. And that's not something that I have with Nate. So I have to deal with the feelings of knowing that that's something that I cannot have. That is a need that cannot be met by Nate. So I have to kind of take responsibility for my feelings and deal with them on my own.
Yeah. Yeah. Time and time is a tough one, right? Because I think out of everything that we experience in relationships, time is the thing that's finite, right? You know, in polyamory, they say love is infinite. You can love, your love is endless. Time isn't. Mm-hmm. Time has a start and an end. We can get into a whole conversation about the constructs of time, but that's a tough one to deal with.
Yeah. Another situation we can talk about is when we first opened up our relationship and we all started dating. Mm-hmm. You know, speaking of time, we were all scheduling dates with other people throughout the week. Mm-hmm. And it was, you know, it was new to us. So we hadn't created a system yet of like how we were going to work our schedule.
Yes.
So we were missing each other a lot. And so some of us would have two or three dates a week and we wouldn't see each other or be able to spend any time together throughout the week. Like we were not spending time mm-hmm. together as a family or a triad.
We were going days without seeing each other sometimes.
Yeah. So when those feelings of jealousy rose up, you know, when I was starting to feel jealous and I had to assess and realize that the thing that I was missing was time with my partners, mm-hmm. you know, and I needed to communicate that and try to come up with a system and an agreement with my partners to try and get that back and get that need met. So we ended up having, you know, one of our regular family check-ins.
Yep.
And we came up with a system of scheduling date nights and things like that for ourselves, but also scheduling time for family time and for individual partner time and mm-hmm. Things like that. And to make that a priority, to make sure that that need was getting met for all of us.
Right. Mm-hmm. It came down to being more purposeful with our time.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. That was a big thing, is that part of it was we were going days without seeing each other, but then the time that we were spending together, we weren't like being intentional about what we did together. Mm-hmm. A lot of it was just sitting around in the living room on our phones, and we weren't really spending quality time together. So mm-hmm. yeah, that was definitely something we worked on. And now I don't know if people like care about our system, but our system now is we each get like one night a week where we can do whatever we want. Essentially, it's not necessarily a set day of the week. Evans is, just by function of the fact that he FaceTimes Nate every Monday night. Mm-hmm. So that's his night with Nate, and that is pretty set in stone. We've obviously had some changes recently since he was out of town, but
I think flexibility is important, yeah, too.
So Chris and I also each get a night throughout the week where we can, and it doesn't even necessarily have to be like, I'm going to go out on a date this night. It's a night where you get to choose what you do with your time, and you're not necessarily tied down to being at the house and stuff like that, because you have two other partners in the house who can take responsibility for our child that we have, for the house, for the pets, that kind of thing. So, and then Sundays are family days.
Yeah. And I think that a good call out here too is, you know, we have that system put in place, but it doesn't have to be rigid. Having some flexibility in things, like you gave the example of, you know, you needing time, you know, because of the way schedules worked out, to change your day or to have a couple extra days, or, you know, or if a relationship is getting a little bit more serious, to, you know, see someone more than once a week every so often. Mm-hmm. You know, it's very important to be able to have the latitude to do that, because, again, the type of polyamory that we practice is very much all of our partners have equal importance and equal status in our lives, right? Like, we don't practice hierarchical polyamory. Everyone's just as important. Yeah. The importance here is that the three of us here on this podcast have what I think you had dubbed, Evan, last time we talked, was a project.
Mm-hmm.
It's our family. And this is what we're building and what we're growing. So it requires more time and more, you know, kind of focus.
It's just, we run a house together.
Yeah. Right. It's like running a business or running any, like, we are literally doing this together.
We do the laundry together. We do the dishes together. We pay our bills together. We take care of our kid together. Now we're dealing with this pregnancy together. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. So obviously our nesting relationship that the three of us have together just does take more time, mm-hmm. just because of the nature of it, because we do nest together.
Yep.
But
it doesn't take away from the importance of our other relationships either.
Exactly.
Exactly.
And that includes friendships.
That too. Yeah. Everything's just important. So do you have an anecdotal example of jealousy, Amber?
So I struggled a lot with this kind of jealousy very early in our relationship. Mm-hmm. I don't know if all of our listeners know this, but Evan and Christopher are high school sweethearts,
mm-hmm. yep.
and they have been together forever, mm-hmm. right? For half your guys' lives. So something I struggled with a lot in the beginning was jealousy about the
history.
Yeah. The history, the ease, the memories, you know, because you guys have experiences together, like really big, important life experiences together, from when you were children, essentially. So in the beginning, especially right when we were starting out, we hadn't known each other for that long. And especially when we moved in together, we hadn't really made any memories together at that point. So I felt jealous of your relationship because I felt like I didn't have a lot to share with you guys. And this was for both of you. It wasn't like I was jealous of Chris for having more time with you or jealous of Evan for having more time with Chris.
Mm-hmm.
It was sort of just an overarching pain at not having that, because I'm very deeply in love with both of my partners, and I really wanted to share the depth that you guys already shared when I came into the relationship. So I know I talked about it a lot with Evan, and I think I've discussed it with Chris before too. And what we sort of figured out is that when we embarked on this poly journey together of being a triad and deciding to nest together and raise a family together, this was the beginning of an entirely new relationship for all of us. So we were embarking on something completely brand new. So just because you guys have that history together from before I was in the picture doesn't mean my relationships with you guys are any less meaningful than what you guys had in the past. And, you know, we've been together, it'll be 4 years on July 28th.
Yeah.
It's our anniversary. And that's a long time, and we've made a lot of memories together, and, you know, now we're having a baby together, so.
There's been a lot of big shit that's happened in the last four years. Yeah.
So I don't really struggle with that anymore, but it took.
Took time.
It took a lot. It did take a lot of time, because I struggled with that for a long time. So, yeah, that's my example.
Nice. Well, I don't know, nice, but like it very insightful.
Yeah.
Right. And I hearken back from my anecdote to the beginning too. And my jealousy came from a feeling of inadequacy. And I've evolved in the fact that, again, back to a call to therapy, therapy's awesome, realizing that I don't need one to be 100% of everything for a person. And two, and this is actually to let you know what it is. It was back to when we had first started to go to therapy and we first talked about opening the relationship. I had feelings of jealousy of about not being enough. And the whole point of polyamory, right, is you can't get all of your needs met 100% from one person, right? So with me, I struggled a lot with, I guess, what was it, self-esteem, struggled with inadequacy, struggled with, I did a lot of self-loathing, self-hatred. I was in a tough place at that time. But coming to learn about what those inadequacies were and that it had nothing to do with what I couldn't provide, but what I had to work on within myself, and working through those things helped me realize that, you know, I am enough as a person and people choose to be with me because I am enough and I give them and provide them what they need. Then getting into the relationship, the jealousy came at first, especially when we first got together, was more physical forms. Like, are you getting better sex from the other person?
Yeah.
Do you remember feeling those feelings? Like, I think we've all felt that way at one point or another. Like, sex is better with them than it's with me. I must not be good enough. So I'm jealous that, you know, they're getting something that I can't provide them.
I had that a lot when we were long distance.
And that made it even harder because...
That was difficult, too, because there was nothing...
Nothing
we could do about it until we moved in together.
Yeah. Yeah, we dealt with a lot of feelings around that topic, and we worked through a lot. But coming to realize and reflecting on it, especially in polyamory, that each of us provide the other partner with something that we can't provide, and that's okay, and that's a good thing. So, like, your experience, Evan, with Amber... is something completely different than something that I experience with you or I experience with you, Amber. When I realized that, you know, that's okay and I can't provide all those things, that's when I came to the realization that this is okay and I was fine with it because I can never provide 100% of anyone's needs, no matter what it is, emotionally, physically, you know, and that's why we're polyamorous. Because we want to live our fullest lives and get fulfilled in all the ways that we want to be fulfilled. That was something I had to deal with, and that was something I had to reflect on, and that was something I had to do the work on. And to go back to what I said at the last episode about going through therapy and talking with our therapist.
Janet, we miss you.
We'll say it every time. Janet, we miss you and love you. Is they're the guide, but I did the work, and we all did the work. And reflecting on those things and knowing that if I'm happy with who I am and what I can provide, then that's enough. I would say those are my couple examples of jealousy that I've had anecdotally.
So what about this thing called compersion?
Ooh.
Is right. That, would we call that would we call that the opposite of jealousy?
Some people do. I don't necessarily think it's the opposite of jealousy.
What would you call it then? Or why don't you think it's the opposite of jealousy? We should explain what compersion is.
I was going to say, so could we even do a whole show on compersion, or is this something that kind of coincides with jealousy?
I think this fits in with jealousy.
Okay.
Evan, do you want to explain what compersion is?
Compersion is kind of like the warm, fuzzy feelings you get when you see your partner getting fulfilled from somebody else. So when I see Amber and their partner together and that partner is making Amber happy, I feel great about that because I see this person that I love being fulfilled and enjoying being in love, and their happiness is my happiness.
So why wouldn't you say that compersion is the opposite of jealousy?
Because jealousy, like we said earlier, is a secondary emotion. And jealousy is occurring when your needs aren't being met. But compersion can happen at any time. Compersion is not a secondary emotion.
It's primary.
Yes. So compersion is appreciation. It's gratitude and it's joy.
Awesome. I experience it all the time with you guys.
I love compersion.
I do too. It's actually,
it's a really nice feeling.
It is. It almost makes you feel even more complete too, because it's like, you're just like, man, I'm seeing the people that I love being fulfilled in ways that I can't provide.
Yeah.
And it's making them happy. And then when they're happy, they come back, and then our experiences are so much better too. So it's like full circle. It's like karma almost.
Yeah.
Like, you know, if you throw it out and it comes back at you, it's compersion is very much the same way.
So when's the last time you guys felt compersion?
I felt compersion just a few days ago when you had your partner Martina over. You guys were hanging out in the basement, and Chris and I were up in the living room, and I heard you laughing like nonstop the whole time. And I just thought to myself, oh my gosh, Martina makes Amber so happy.
Mm. All right. Well, that was a very good story on your compersion. What about you, Amber?
I actually felt compersion. I think this was yesterday, because Nate had been out of town with his other partner for a few days, and I know you hadn't heard from him for a while. And then you got home from work yesterday. You'd been a little gloomy for a while because you hadn't heard from Nate, and you got home from work yesterday, and you just had like the biggest smile on your face. Yes. And I'm like, oh my god, like.
And Nate, if you're listening, it was the cheesiest ass grin.
Shut up.
It was such a big fucking shit-eating grin. It was hilarious. It was so cute. But I was like, oh my god, you're so happy. Like, you're in such a good mood. Like, what happened? And Evan was like, Nate called me on his way home. And I just got big warm fuzzies. Mm-hmm.
I did too.
Evan and me love each other so much.
It was hella cute.
It was adorable.
And I guess to wrap around for my compersion, like, I literally experience it every single day that you guys talk to me about your partners. Every day. Because when you talk to me about your partners, both of your guys' eyes light up, and you get the cheesiest, goofiest ass smiles on your faces, and you can feel how much you guys care about your partners and how much you really, like, just so passionate about them. And when I feel that, it just brings me joy. It makes me happy.
You should give like a specific instance. It's kind of cheating to be like, I feel compersion every single day.
But it's true.
You don't have a specific instance you can think of?
Talk about our breakfast dates.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, okay. So my story, my compersion story or instance. So Evan and I, we try to go once a week. It's our, like, you know, we go out, have breakfast, and we talk about things, you know, that are going on. And when Evan got back from New York visiting Nate, he had just told me about his experiences with Nate and how close he was and how he felt about it. And this is a good story that, because it ties in the jealousy and compersion kind of all into one, because when you hear a partner having an experience that you don't have with them, but they're like gushing about it and just filled with like fulfillment about it, normally people would feel like they would get jealous about that. But with me, I feel compersion from it, because you're getting something that I'm not providing you, and it's bringing you so much happiness and joy. And just listening to you tell that story and tell me about those experiences and just going on and on about it, like, I just sit and watch you, and I'm just in awe, because I can tell how happy it makes you. And when I see you that happy, that makes me even more happier for you. And I want those things for both of you. I think even for you, Amber, like, Evan hit it a spot on. Evan and I were sitting on the couch while you were down here, and just hearing you laugh and like just be like, you know, like wholeheartedly laugh and giggle and just be in the moment.
It was over the dumbest shit too.
I'm sure it was, but
it was over a TikTok. It was, because I know exactly what you're talking about.
But regardless of that, Evan and I sitting there, we kind of looked at each other and we just went, "Yep," and we just smiled, and we knew, like, we feel it all the time. It took a little bit of time for us to get there, but we got there.
You have to be open to compersion happening.
Yeah,
it's something you have to be able to receive, because, like you said, you can easily find yourself in a moment that could easily make you jealous.
Yeah.
Like, I could hear Amber laughing downstairs with their partner, and I can think, oh, I'm not making them laugh. They don't laugh like that with me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but instead, you choose compersion. and you choose to feel happy that this is happening at all. I'm happy that Amber can experience that. I'm happy that Amber is feeling joy in this moment.
Yeah, very true. And the topic of conversion really kind of brings full circle the topic of jealousy, because it's the alternative to jealousy. It's not the opposite. It's the alternative, I think, would be a good way to put it. Wouldn't you agree?
Yes. I think that when you are self-aware and you are reflecting on your feelings, you can begin to choose what you feel in reaction to circumstances.
And if anything, it's a powerful feeling, because you're controlling the way you feel. You're not letting jealousy, because jealousy, I feel like, can be a default for a lot of people. You're taking control of that feeling and you're choosing to be happy about it because of the reasons that it's making that person happy. And you should want to see your partner happy. So you're taking control of that feeling and saying, this has nothing to do with me, but my partner's extremely happy and that makes me happy.
It eliminates a lot of like pain and discomfort from your life.
It really
feel
does.
Compersion, to choose to feel compersion over jealousy.
Mm-hmm.
It makes me happier.
It does. I'm actually just smiling, thinking about all the times that I felt compersion for you guys.
Yeah.
So I think with that, is there anything else that we've missed that we want to talk about with jealousy, compersion, communication, dealing with those things? Have we hit on everything that we want to talk about?
I don't know.
No?
Yeah, I think, you know, we did a pretty good job of bringing it full circle.
Yeah, I think that we hit on all the main topics that, you know, kind of oversee how we deal with jealousy and how we take that and convert it into compersion, and when we can. And when it's something that we can't convert into compersion, we take it as a time to reflect on ourselves. And the biggest thing is just staying open and communicating and telling all your partners how you feel when you feel it. Once you've, you know, realized that. So, well, awesome. Well, this has been an amazing conversation about jealousy, compersion, and communication. Guys, hit us up on Facebook and all the other socials out there. Let us know your thoughts on it and drop some stories to us. Let us know, give us some examples of times that you guys have dealt with jealousy and how you've dealt with it. Or have you felt compersion yourself? And let us know. We'd love to hear from you.
And I think our next episode will be about family. Yes. Poly and family.
Yeah. Yeah. We have, boy, have we a lot to talk about family and poly and how we've dealt and navigated that. There's been some tough stuff there too, for sure. So stay tuned for that. That'll be our next episode talking about family. And again, check us out at 3Ps in a Poly on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Yeah, and I'm sure if you're listening to this, you're already subscribed. But again, I'll give the website. It's listen.3psinapoly.com. And we are on all the streaming platforms now. We finally are now on Pandora. It took a while, but we're there. But we're on Spotify, Pandora, Apple Podcasts. Anywhere you can get your podcasts, we're there. So thank you for listening. We look forward to bringing you the next episode of 3 Ps in a Poly. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye, guys.
See ya.